Welcome to the Cherryleaf podcast. In this episode, we're going to look at e-learning tools. We're going to give you a tour of the recording studio that we use for creating the e-learning courses that we offer in topics around technical communication and business writing. And we'll look at some of the other software tools that are available to do e-learning and screencasting and walkthroughs for people involved in technical communication. I'm now in a recording studio for e-learning courses. Well, recording studio is a bit fancy. It's actually an office that's been converted, so it doubles up as a recording studio. So let me describe it. I'm standing in front of a wall that has been painted green, probably about 2.5 meters in width and about 2 meters in height. And it's been painted with green screen paint, special paint that means that when you record, you can do chroma key and make the background disappear and then have behind that, instead of the background, videos or images or slides. And this is a special paint, quite matte, very green, almost the same colour as the green in the Cherryleaf logo. And turning the other way round so that the green screen is behind me, what we have in front of that is the lights. And what we use are lights on tripods with a white umbrella to project the light forwards to the presenter. And we started off with two lights. In fact, we had two lights and a cloth green background, but we didn't get consistent results that way, so we've now painted a wall green instead. We have more lights now. The classic setup for lights is you have one to the left of the presenter, one to the right of the presenter, and one above. And we have tripod lights, the umbrella lights with big curly LED lamps that are in the light sockets to go with those. We have those projecting forwards towards the presenter. We also have a light underneath to get rid of the double chins and to project from the bottom up. We also have above a fluorescent tube, but in fact it's not a fluorescent tube. It's actually an LED light that's the length of a fluorescent tube. It fits into one of those that can project down. And so the goal with the lighting is to light the presenter, but also to avoid any shadows that might cast onto the screen to cause problems with this chroma key green screen that we have. We had a number of challenges with doing that, getting the shadows, getting the consistent results in our e-learning recordings. And so what we've done also is have a spotlight which projects from the back towards the back of the presenter, and what that spotlight does is that can get rid of green fringing that you sometimes see. So that, in effect, in the main setup that we have is spotlight, 1, 2, 3, in fact 4 umbrella lights, a small LED light to project upwards as well, and these are relatively cheap to buy. They're not that expensive to get. And the other thing we have with this room is curtains installed. That also helps with the audio and the bouncing of sound. One of the things we want with the video to get that consistency is consistent lighting. And sometimes where you have windows looking out, you can have the sun rise, the sun fall, clouds go over, and that can lead to inconsistencies in the level of light that's coming through. So we also have curtains over any windows that look out. So what do we use to record the video? Well, we have on occasions used video cameras. However, we found it simpler simply to use the camera on the laptop and have the laptop on a tripod, which actually sits on a desk, and we get sufficient quality from the video camera in the laptop that we don't need to use a video camera. One of the challenges we found with using a video camera was that they tend to have what's called automatic white balancing. They're constantly adjusting the balance to get the optimal video. The downside of that automatic white balances. Again, it's constantly correcting and changing, which can then cause problems with your green screen, the tools, the software that's getting rid of that background. So for consistency, we found it simpler just to use a computer laptop. So that's our lighting and video setup. When it comes to the audio side of things, what we do is we now use a digital recorder called a Zoom H6. It's the same recorder that we use for recording the podcasts. And we have a lavalier mic that's attached to the lapel of the presenter, and then a wire that goes down through the shirt and out to the recorder, which is placed to the side. For backup, what we also do is make a second recording. We use a digital recorder, a Philips Voice Tracer digital recorder. And the main challenges we've had with sound, one has been echo and trying to minimize the amount of echo. And we found that using a lavalier mic can help minimize that. We have experimented with using a boom mic. And we do have a boom mic in this room. However, we found it simpler to work with a lavalier mic. Other challenges we've had, for about 90 days of the year, the aircraft go on a flight path which is close to us, and that can lead to you hearing the aircraft in the background. And this will happen for half a day, 90 days of the year. It seems to be always the case that the day that we're recording is the day that the aeroplanes fly over. Equally, the day that somebody decides to chop down a tree with a chainsaw or to dig up the road, they always seem to be the days when we want to record. So one of the challenges, as I said, with audio is echo, and that can be caused by sound bouncing off hard surfaces. This is an office as well as a studio. We have storage, we have cupboards for storage with doors and hard surfaces, and that way we have a desk which has a hard surface. So to get around that, little bit of a Heath Robinson setup for that, we use yoga mats. We have those curled up and then we can just roll them out over a desk or over the cupboards just to avoid or minimize the amount of sound that's bouncing off those. Though again, with the lavalier mics, we find that tends to minimize that. We don't always have to do that. We've talked about audio, we've talked about the video, we've talked about the background. The other thing that we do is we have a script, and the presenter is seeing a script, a set of words appear on a teleprompter. They're presenting by reading the script, the teleprompt script. The reason for doing this is that sometimes we need to re-record, and by having the script, we can maintain the consistency. And to do that, what we use is either a smartphone or a tablet, and we have a teleprompter app running on that, and that sits just in front of the, or just below the video camera. You can get little setups if you're using an SLR camera, where with mirrors and glass, the teleprompt appears directly in the line of sight of the camera itself. The way that we do it, the eye line is ever so slightly below the camera, but we haven't seen that to be noticeable. In terms of the tools that we use for our e-learning courses, the format that we have is presenter, video presenter talking, and slides, images, diagrams, videos. For that type of presentation, we've found that Camtasia is a very good tool for doing that type of video-based approach. One other challenge we've had is with drift. And this is where the video is recording at one speed and the audio is recording at another speed. You combine the two and they start to go out of alignment. So the lips are moving of the presenter, but the audio is a little bit behind. One of the things you have to do when setting up Camtasia and setting up your audio recording device is to make sure they're recording both at the same speed so you don't have that drift problem. Another way that we get around that is by just recording in shorter segments, 10-minute segments. So this might sound expensive and complicated. It isn't too bad. The lamps you can get relatively cheaply from different sources, from places like Amazon and eBay. The green screen paint is a little bit more expensive than normal paint, but it works very well. It does save an awful lot of time in post-editing, getting rid of problems that can happen when you do try to green screen. And the recording equipment you can use in other situations for other purposes. For example, for doing a podcast or recording other types of things that might be going onto your website. As well as the recordings, we also use this studio for training courses, live training courses, where we're running a course for delegates based in the USA and we're in the UK, or we've done courses for people based in mainland Europe, in Saudi Arabia. And the lighting setup, it seems to work quite well. You just have to be careful if you get up and want to move away. If you've got a microphone attached to a laptop in that environment, then you can end up dragging the laptop with you. So a boom mic can work better in that particular situation. The context in which we're creating e-learning material is for full e-learning courses, courses that people spend money on. They do exercises, they can send in on some of the courses their work to be marked. And that's directed us to make them engaging by having a video of the presenter and then supporting images and slides. Now that does lead to some challenges and limitations by being video-based in that way. It's primarily in one language, English. It has to be filmed in a fixed location, the studio that we use. And those limitations may be difficult for you if you're looking to develop e-learning content in other situations. So what are those other situations? Well, it may be that you need to create content that can be used around the world. So the content needs to be generated and published across different languages. It may need to be presented or have text that's in Spanish as well as English, or German as well as English. It may need to have audio in French. And in that context, there may be other tools that are better suited to that situation, particularly where you're describing software. It may be that you just want audio narration as well as the screen. It may be you're just showing movement across an application, and text speech bubbles may be appropriate. For technical authors, for technical communicators, they may well have access to an e-learning platform already, because the popular help authoring tools are available as bundles, and in those bundles can be e-learning products. And probably the most common, most popular tools within the world of technical communication are the tools called Captivate from Adobe and Mimic from Madcap Software. Often they can be combined with learning management systems, so you can have multiple choice questions and the answers can then go into what's called an LMS, a learning management system, and you can then check their answers against the correct answers and record how successful they were on understanding and answering those particular questions. They are often used in two situations. One is in conjunction with PowerPoint. So you have a set of slides, and on top of that you can do an audio narration of what is presented on those slides. In addition to that, what you can do, you can slot in some video, but the context of green screen superimposing, it's not as powerful as it is within tools like Camtasia. Often the approach they take is to provide still shots of a presenter, an actor in different poses. It might be somebody in a white coat to present as if they were a doctor, or somebody presenting as if they were an engineer. It can be relevant to the context of the learning material. And this can be an appropriate compromise where you don't want the overhead of having full motion video of a presenter. Where you have slides, some of these tools will have a link to the slides outside of the project. What this means is that if you make changes to the PowerPoint slides, then it may be a case of you just need to hit the publish button and it will regenerate the video file, the MP4 file. You don't have to re-import, re-edit, start again your presentation. It can make managing those changes a lot easier than it can be with some of the other tools. Another advantage of this approach is if you do need to re-record, it's simpler to just record an audio than it is a video, particularly if you need to have it in different languages. The other context is where you're demonstrating, showing somebody how to use a product. And again, some of the challenges with that are dealing with changes and variations, different versions of products, different languages, changes over time. And one of the reasons for considering tools like Mimic and Captivate is they have single sourcing features within them that can save you time and effort. And the types of capabilities that these tools have is they can have variables. So if the product name changes across countries, that can be a variable. You can publish for the UK with the product name for the UK. You can then change the variable to the US name or the Canadian name or the Australian name and just hit the republish button. And you then have your version for America or for Canada or for Australia. You can have templates or master frames for consistent approach. You can have condition tags so that in certain situations, a particular piece of text will appear. In other situations, another piece of text can appear. And again, this is important where you have different versions of the same product. It's available in different countries. And the tools can be integrated with language translation products as well, such as Lingo. And when it comes to recording where to move your mouse to go to different elements within the screen, if you do it by video, then the person that's moving the mouse, it might be a little bit jerky in the way they use the mouse. They might hesitate at certain points to where to click. One of the capabilities that these tools have is they can smooth those movements out. The movement of the mouse is done like a path that's tracked and overlaid on top of them. These tools, Madcap Mimic, Adobe Captivate, worth looking at if you need to round trip with PowerPoint, you need to manage many changes within PowerPoint. If you want to publish to a learning management system and have quizzing, if you're dealing with frequent changes or variations, you need to have things like conditional text or variations, where you're dealing with different languages where you might need to get the content localized. In those situations, those tools are certainly worth looking at. Another approach we have used is to take a comic book approach or a cartoon approach to the way in which information is presented. That's quite a large subject, so what we'll do is we'll explore that in another episode. In this episode, we've looked at the equipment needed for video-based e-learning, and we've also looked at some of the alternatives, the other software that's available that can be used when video isn't needed or is too complicated for your situation. We'll look at other tools in future podcasts and potentially some of the debates that are going on around e-learning. If you'd like details on the training courses we offer, you'll find those at cherryleaf.com/training, or you can email us info@cherryleaf.com. And equally, you can email us if you're interested in discussing potentially us developing training courses for your products. And if you could subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on Podbean, that helps us appear higher in the rankings of all the different podcasts that are out there. And also, if you could give us a rating on iTunes, that also helps us make others aware of this podcast. And finally, if you have any feedback on the podcast, what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like us to cover, the length of the podcast episodes, then do email us info@cherryleaf.com. We'll just close down this episode and say thank you for listening, and we'll be speaking to you soon.